One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There, y'all, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the chocolate in my milk, the smoothness on the bottom of my foot, right beside me, Mr. Kyle Phils.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a beautiful February afternoon.
That's right.
Glad to be here. Yep.
Right. You staying out of trouble finally?
I have been staying out of trouble.
You've been actually staying busy. I hadn't got to talk to you much in the last few days.
This week's been crazy.
Very busy. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a death in the family.
Just texting a little here and there.
We had a funeral to go to, and then we work piling up. What else has been going on? Luke had a field trip.
Where'd he get to go?
Little Fizzy went to the Dickies Arena.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the stock show's over, but I'm not sure what they went over there and did. But, and then they all went to Outback Steakhouse or something.
Oh, man.
I'm like, man, when I was in elementary school, we never went to like Outback Steakhouse.
No, you had to bring your lunch when we were in school.
Yeah, or you just got
I don't think there was anything, a cool place to eat, but McDonald's when we were kids, was
PBJ it? PBJ and like a little carton of milk.
That's it. That's all you get.
Yeah, so I went there and I go, did you have a Bloomin' Onion? Did you have some shrimp? You know, and he's like, no, I had chicken tenders.
Yeah, he looks at you like you're crazy. Yeah, he's like, what, are you out of your mind? No, they got great fried chicken.
Yeah, and he's been telling me he's all psyched because the new Morbius movie is about to come out.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to go see that. And then there's that new Moonfall that's out.
Moon Knight. I want to go see that.
I don't know what that is.
That's another one of those crazy, like, superhero movies.
Oh, okay. Well, Luke's got it all planned. Luke loves the movie theater. I mean, he loves it.
Oh, that's his jam.
Even if it's something he's not really into, he still wants to go because he knows he's getting the popcorn. He's getting the soda.
He ain't wrong.
He's getting the pizza. Oh, I know.
All right. I'll be waiting for the text. Usually I get a text literally, and it's like the night before, and it's like, hey, this is the row we're on. I'll be out there in front of your house. And then you would just pull up and jump in and go, and that's the way it works.
Yeah.
Because y'all already know the story. We can't let Kyle buy tickets without supervision, or he'll put you on the front row thinking it's the back row because he don't read so good because he likes to not pay attention to directions. Well, Kyle's one of those guys.
I didn't have my Felix Grays on at the time, and so I got confused. Yeah, I've been, you know, funny.
He throws instructions. He's like, he's that guy.
I am that guy. I don't like instructions.
He's like, I can figure it out.
And then when I can't figure it out and then I go look at the instructions, it makes me mad when it's not, there's not even words, it's just pictures. I'm like, you can't put words on here?
Cost extra. Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, I have got something crazy for y'all. So a while back, I'd spoken to my sister-in-law, the one that had told the story about the witch, right? I told you about that we have talked about the witch's tomb here in town.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah. So she had, and I will share it with you. She sent it to me and all that. She had a very strange, very upsetting Ouija board session when she was a kid that she said she had actually forgotten all about till we started talking about it one time. And I think maybe somebody else had brought it up to her also. And it was after her father, my wife's father, also after their father had passed. And so, yeah, it's a very upsetting thing. And then it just so happens that I look here online and this is what I find that I want to share with y'all. It says this: when I was 13 years old or so, my aunt and uncle invited my family to their house. This was not a get together for dinner or drinks, but to experiment with something they had never done before. A Ouija board.
Not a good idea, folks.
Now, this incident took place, it says here, 21 years ago. This memory became much more prevalent than all the others in my life. So when someone mentions the Ouija board around me, it triggers one of the most traumatic memories of my childhood. I remember there being a full house of family and friends, around 20 or so people, looking at my aunt and uncle, along with one member of my family, using the actual board. To the best of my recollection, that's who I remember. Now, if there were other people using the board that day, I don't really think, or I don't really remember, and I don't remember how it began or what even activated the board, but whatever it was, they started to get a response. Out of nowhere, something made contact with them. You could feel that there was a presence, a foreboding energy in the room. Now, it says, they found out that the thing they made contact with claimed that it was a boy. My uncle asked the boy what it wanted, and the planchette immediately spelled out, "Kill her." My uncle asked, "Who did the boy want him to kill?" And the boy responded, "Your wife."
Oh, geez.
Now, my uncle replied, "Why?" And the boy, it says here, said, "She is evil." Now, back in the day, my aunt was a tough, foul-mouthed woman who would stand toe-to-toe with anybody. Though the person she is now, compared to the woman she was 21 years ago, is night and day. Two completely different people. But needless to say, what this boy was wanting my uncle to do didn't set well with my aunt, so she began provoking or taunting whatever it was that wanted her dead. My aunt called, let loose several profanities, you know, dropping the F-bombs, and it responded. As soon as she said, "Show me a sign," the house became totally quiet with an eerie silence. Everyone present wanted to see if they could hear or see something out of the ordinary. Actually, it was the calm before the storm, as they say, because out of nowhere, loud scratching and digging sounds emanated from all parts of the house, as if they were things inside the walls trying to break through. Now, you talk about fear. There wasn't a person in that house who didn't look shocked or scared. But my aunt, and of course being herself, provoked it one more time. And she said, "Again, if you're surreal, give me a sign." And the scratching intensified and the digging turned into hard knocks at the front door. It was so loud that the entire house seemed to shake. My cousin, her son, and I were the same age, and we both went to answer the front door. When we opened it, there was nothing there. The scratching in the walls intensified. As soon as we shut the door and walked away, the intense knocking started all over again. Then a few seconds later, it suddenly stopped. My aunt was the only person present who wasn't as bothered by what had happened as compared to everyone else. I had heard rumors that my uncle burned the Ouija board. But days later, it manifested intact on the same table. He was then told he needed to break it in half first, then burn it. But who really knows what exactly happened with it? But this was my first experience with something paranormal or evil. And since then, I've had an extreme curiosity with this paranormal. And I've had my own experiences with other things of this nature. I've been ghost hunting multiple times, experienced the Ouija board as an adult, but never stopped believing in old JC, my Lord and Savior. Some will say I'm tempting the devil with the paranormal, perhaps, but I have no fear. F.
No. First off, you don't tempt spirits. Don't call them out like you're looking for trouble. And even after experiencing that and knowing that story, you want to still dabble and go on ghost hunts and stuff?
Yeah, no.
No, thanks.
Yeah. I've never heard of good enclosure and happiness and well-being coming from Ouija boards.
Well, and, you know, don't call.
They told me where I hid my car, where I lost my car keys, or they told me. No, it never works like that.
Yeah, don't call the ghost out. Like, oh, if you're real, then do something.
Yeah.
You know you're going to sleep that night, right?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a little heads up. They don't sleep.
Yeah.
Because they be sleeping forever.
Yeah. I mean, don't poke the bear.
Exactly.
Just, I'm okay with, like, there's a ghost. Dude, I'd be like, please just leave me alone,
yeah.
Okay? Do you want me to leave out some cheesecake for you or something? No problem.
Right? Just right? Don't be making all. It's like in Beetlejuice. They just live together. Like, that's all I got to do. We all just hang out here. Can't we all be friends?
Yeah.
What was the movie? There was an old movie. Steve Guttenberg, Higher Spirits. Remember Goldie Hawn?
Yeah,
I not Goldie Hawn. Daryl Hannah, the other blonde. I'm trying to remember blondes from when I was a kid. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about mysterious caves. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, here we go. Like I alluded to, this is something that's been rattling around in my head since we talked about Phil Schneider being underground, right? We were discussing caves. Now, let me tell you this. It did take a crazy twist. I found way more stuff than I realized that was even out there of cool cave experiences around the globe. But there's some really strange stuff that hit in Vietnam, and I'm going to be covering that on the Elite Show. But for right now, all right, let me get these glasses on. Let me get on my glasses. Make sure I got all this where I can see. We're going to be talking about, I'm going to get into some like really creepy stories of the caves. And then we're going to dive into some reptilian encounters that took place. That's wild. All right. But starting out, there's one thing I've learned. First of all, there's caves all over the U.S., right? All over the world. But, you know, they're all over the U.S., different sizes, everywhere, right? And who knows? It's fun to daydream. What if they're all connected? You know, like, who knows? What? And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. You know, who knows? Like we said, we have no clue. But I do know this. Illinois is eat up with caves. Y'all up there, wow. That is something that I didn't realize. Of course, I guess why would you, right? You don't ever think about it when you're thinking about caves. Instantly, growing up here in Texas, you think about Carlsbad, or I think about the Natural Bridge Caverns, which is a little cave system down outside of San Antonio. So that's one thing. But when I got to looking into this and realized, like, there's a pile in Illinois, and all of them seem to have something nefarious, right? Like something creepy that's gone on around there. Listen to this. This takes place in a town called North Aurora. There's a place called Devil's Cave. Sounds like a good spot, right? A good vacation spot. Devil's Cave. The story goes with this Devil's Cave is they still, I guess, get some hauntings, some sightings, or some eeriness that go on around this area and when you visit this area today. But basically, the story that I've gathered, and there's several layouts, but the story goes that the local natives in this area, I think they're called Wabanese, was the name of the tribe? Wabansee, I think. All right, but anyhow, you know how I am. I can't pronounce these crazy things. So the native tribes in this area lived in this beautiful little part right there, but the white settlers moved in. Everything was cool. Now, one story goes that one of the natives of the tribe started stealing from the settlers and bringing heat down on everybody and causing a problem. So they threw him out of the tribe. He was banished and he went to live in Devil's Cave. And while he was in there, you know, things got, I don't know if you could say they got crazy. One story says that he had like a glowing fungus that lived on him, like he covered himself in this fungi. And it was like, what do they call it? Foxfire, I think is what they say. Anyway, it's glowing, and that people around this area believed that it was a demon. And then so they went in there, and they did just like in the Lovelock cave. They start a fire. They smoke him out. He runs, and he leaps off into this river, this Fox River, I believe, and he dies. And then there was another story that was a little bit worse, and it was more of one of the natives allegedly is causing problems with the settlers and with the natives. They banish him. He takes a bad twist. He goes and starts attacking settlers on his own on the outskirts, and he's, you know, scalping folks, killing folks. And the settlers and the natives get involved, and they go out and set fire into this cave because they think that's where he's at. Story goes he caught fire, he runs out, he leaps off into the water, he dies. Either way, it's pretty gruesome. But that's the darkness that surrounds this cave, as crazy as it sounds. But that's not it. There's another one in Illinois, and it's called, and I love this, it's along the Ohio River called Cave-In Rock. It's in Hardin County, Illinois. So apparently all through this area, it was used. Now, we know this through history that they use these as, or at least we've been told, right, caches for bank robbers and train robbers and stagecoach robberies. That's where everybody hides their loot, right? They go in there and they hide their boxes. It's great. We've all seen the movies, right? We all know how this goes down. Cave-In Rock's no different. They say from the late 1700s, all the way to the late 1800s, that area of the Ohio River had horse thieves in it, right? Counterfeiters. They even talk about pirates on the river. And yet again, another thing you don't even think about really so much in freshwater in North America is river pirates back in the day in the 1800s. Like, that was a thing, right? Like highwaymen, that was a thing. You'd ride down a trail and they'd pop out and rob you, right? It's still the idea of it on highways, one thing, but on the river, but it took place. So the story goes that all of this was going on around Cave-In Rock, and there was roughly buku money had changed hands and was stolen in and around this area. Story goes that the Mason gang had hid a large stash of gold in Cave-In Rock, and this fella named Samuel Mason got killed after he was caught. And this fella apparently was on the Spanish side, it says here, of the Mississippi River with quite a bit of money. And the story goes that people that were involved in this claim that Cave-In Rock was where all the bad stuff went down. That's like where if they caught you, they would, you know, they're beating people. They might have killed people. They may have tortured people for information, you know, extortion, whatever they can do in this cave. They were pretty much doing it. It was kind of like a supervillain lair is the way the story kind of reads out. And there's still claims to this day that at certain times you can hear cries or moaning coming from this cave in the middle of the night or just passing by. It sounds wild, but I mean, is it any more wild than a haunted house? I mean, the think of an idea of a haunted cave to me is rather disturbing. And like I said, it doesn't stop there. There's another place in Illinois, Adams County. It's called Burton's Cave. Same thing. They talked about this is back in the 1830s, that there was a stranger living in this area. And then it turned into apparitions living in this area. And people started saying that they saw people in robes and they saw lights coming from this cave and people going in and out. And it's so wild because there's one of the stories that goes along that someone, I don't know who it was, snuck up there. It was either someone out for a walk, someone in the area, campers, whatever, you know, which is in the 1830s. Are they actually called, you going camping or are you just living, right? Like, I don't really know. You could say it was going camping. It'd be like us, like, we're going to get some water. Like, are you? Or are you just turning on the faucet? So this whole story goes down that somebody snuck up to this entrance. They heard these sounds. They saw these lights coming from this cave one evening. They snuck up there. They saw some sort of ceremony taking place. They claim what they saw was a woman who they assumed was dead, laid out on some sort of altar. She was wearing white, like a white dress, and candles and all this typical altar scene. This person goes back, goes and finds the sheriff, right? This whole thing, they come back. There's nothing there at all. So again, it said, well, did they get the place cleaned up? Or was it just simply something they had seen? And also, back to, we don't know how long it took. When by the time you ride and get it, it's not like here. Pick up your phone and you got, you know, in a few minutes, you've got police there. Like, it may have taken a hot minute for old boy to go find somebody. And then, you know, and you got to ride back. You know how that stuff goes. But either way. So there's stories, again, of ghosts. Locals tell these ghost stories of things of ghosts inhabiting this Burton Cave. Again, in Illinois, there's another cave called Devil's Bake Oven, which I just liked the name of that one. But you can see where I'm going with this, right? More and more and more crazy stories that all involve caves. Why wouldn't they involve caves, right? It's the easiest place to stay. Darren Kuyu, you look at the old underground cities. When you check these things out, it's the simplest thing. We don't have to build it, right? But it's also kind of a one way in, one way out kind of thing. Something bad like that happens. Yeah, they could, you know, Lovelock cave you. They're going to fill it up and light it on fire. So this Devil's Bake Oven talks about that is one of the oldest and most famous legends of this area about a young woman fell in love with a captain of a riverboat. You know, you picture the big paddle boat. They're gambling, this whole thing. But they weren't necessarily looked upon because it doesn't talk. It says riverboat, but they're not discerning exactly which riverboat. Are we going to be talking about like a fur barge, or are we going to be talking about like a gambling ship? More than likely, it's more of a barge system where they're taking, because I bring this up because this young woman's father in the story did not like the young man at all, right? Typical, right? Typical. So story goes that her boyfriend, her fiance, whatever you want to call this fella, gets blown up in a boiler explosion on this ship. And because of all that, she kills herself in the waters of this river and all these things. And the story goes that she has taken, or I guess you could say taken, the legend goes that it has set itself in and around the Devil's Bake Oven, or this cave system. It's in this area, and that they can see her, or let's say her apparition has been spotted in this area. Not to mention that there are sounds, again, that come from this cave. Now, there is stories out there, too, that they believe that there might have been a manor house. There might have been some things closer to this area, too, that could have been this person's home. But Illinois isn't the only one, folks. Like I said, they're all around. I found some in Missouri. I'm going to tell you this one here that I never even heard of. Mark Twain Cave in Hannibal, Missouri. That's crazy, right? But what do I know about Missouri, right? They haven't shown me anything. Oh. Apparently right here, I'm going to read this. This is located south of the Mississippi River off of Route 79, southeast of Hannibal, Missouri. Says that a fella named Jack Sims and some of his brothers, a couple of his brothers, Roderick and William, old Bill there, they found this cave while they were out hunting mountain lion, right? They're running around through there. And this is early 1900s. And they apparently, they've even found, times after the cave was discovered, they found a bunch of prehistoric tools in there, you know, flint works, all of this stuff, where they could tell that Native Americans had been there. And of course, that builds up everything. So you keep jumping through it. There's a lot of stories behind this. Story goes in the 1840s, there was a fella there, was a surgeon, and his name was Dr. McDowell. And he bought this cave. Yeah, and used it basically as a root cellar where he would put instruments and tools for preservation. So you want to preserve the body and you don't have refrigeration. What's the best way? A cold, damp-ass cave, right? Nothing creepy about leaving a corpse in a cave. Nothing creepy at all about that. And so he goes in there, and there's a lot of stuff, the stories that talk about that he was stealing bodies from the cemetery to bring in there. But I bring all this stuff up because this was actually this whole cave system and this thing was actually written about by Mark Twain in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. He fictionalized most of it, right? But that was the whole thing, is he did this whole deal and wrote it and put it in the book. But I'm going to tell you what Mark talked about. Author Mark Twain says this. He says, in my time, the person who owned it, this is the lore that he's talking about, Dr. McDowell, turned it into a mausoleum for his daughter at age 14. He goes on to say that the body of this poor child was put in a copper cylinder filled with alcohol and then suspended in one of the dismal avenues of the cave. And eventually, local citizens found out about this macabre experience, or experiment rather, and forced him to remove his daughter's body. Yeah, no joke, you freak. Get your kid out of this boiling pot or whatever you're keeping her in. Man, that ain't cool. I understand you're a little distraught, but come on now. But it seems to be like this also, too, was used for more outlaws. This more outlaw business, right? Where they're hiding money. There's even stuff written about Jesse James. Yeah. Now, it's said that he carved his name on the walls on the inside of this thing. But, you know, who really knows? This will do, but they do see apparitions in there. They do find all this writing. Again, more with the outlaws, more with the caves. I guess what I should have done is I should have looked for caves with happy endings or caves with happy stories. That's not something you normally find. Really and truly, when you look through this, you don't really find a lot of happy endings with these caves. Nobody's ever like, oh, this cave's called Love and Light. And everybody used to go there for Easter. We used to hunt eggs, you know, whatever you want to make up. Nobody has good things to say about caves. They may start out good, but they don't ever seem to end good, or vice versa. It always seems a little wonky. I don't know why that is, other than that's it. It's wonky. But this is leads me to what I want to tell you about Carthage, Missouri. So we've laid out Illinois, we've got down into Missouri. Y'all understand the number of caves in this area. This actually took place near Carthage, Missouri on March 7th of 2004. Now, this has been out there. This when it first started popping off, there was a lot of stuff going down. People are talking about it. Lon in particular was talking about it. Lon's done a lot of research to him. Again, too, like we always talk about it, phantoms and monsters are with Lon. If you've got anything that you're willing to share and that you want to get documented, and I mean, we love to get it and we want you to share it with us, but also if you don't, we will. We're going to send it to Lon. Lon is like the keeper of the knowledge, right? We had Albert Rosales and Albert stepped down and now Lon's got it. And when Lon's gone, we don't know what we're going to do. When he decides to retire from doing this, I hope he never does. I hope he lives to be 1,000 years old. he does so much of this. So this is not the initial report. Now, the initial report was filed, and then they had a interview with the person, with one of the witnesses. So the witness filed the report. After reading the report, they contact, and I'm going to give you the witness's statement of what went down. Now, this was reported to Mary Sutherland and also to Lon, I believe, on UFO radio, but I can't remember how it all went down. But anyhow, so this is of the UFO radio bit, and this is what it says. This past Sunday, the 7th, a friend and I were riding two ATVs in a public place called the Underground. It's a public and private storage facility in Carthage, Missouri. What makes this place such a desirable storage facility is that it is all underground, hence the name. They are constantly expanding this place, and there are miles and miles of carved out caves in there, and it goes pretty deep. This facility stores thousands and thousands of food containers, all dehydrated for the Navy. And I've seen them, and it is public knowledge around here. It is also a fallout shelter, able to hold some 40 to 50,000 people. I tell you this to give you some sense of the vastness of this place. I worked there as a subcontractor some 9 years ago. I helped build the office spaces up on top, and I started to explore then, about once a month, and I did so all the way until this past Sunday. However, I never went as far or as deep before either. Now, it was fun to take the ATVs and cruise underground. No rain or weather problems ever. We were approximately 8 miles in, and I'd say maybe 500 foot deep, when we took a turn down an area that was marked Naval Authoritative Zone. I remember making a comment about the Navy getting a ship down there and said that, well, that was an easy posting. The walls came more defined, as in polished or finished, And this was striking because this was supposed to be a newly blasted area. Totally backward, I would think. Still, thinking nothing was wrong, we kept going. Actually increasing speed because the floor was paved now and we could go faster. We came up on an unusually painted pattern on the floor and I thought, cool graffiti. Kids have been down here too, so we're safe. We won't get in any trouble. The road dipped down and then it took a 90-degree turn to the left. We had no warning and we were going too fast. I knew we were going to hit the wall, but we didn't. We passed through some kind of projection of the cave siding. Although I don't know how it was done, it was real looking. We passed into a whole new road system. This one was large and much older than where we came from. We started to smell an odor, a musty damp growing stronger as we went deeper on this smell. The lighting decreased as well, probably 60% less than the other areas. So we turned on our headlights. We continued on about 5 to 7 more miles, and for about 5 minutes, I'm sorry, 5 to 7 miles an hour for about 5 minutes, and we noticed it was getting cooler. Which was to me very strange, since once inside a cave a certain distance, the temp usually stays the same. We made a right turn and started to come up on what I thought was a rest area on the side about 40 foot away. I thought it looked like a pair of fountains until they moved. We both stopped immediately. We were approximately 30 foot away now, and what we saw were two creatures. One was very tall, at least 7 foot, hell, maybe more, and very powerfully built, reddish in color. And the other was smaller, about 6 foot, but it was not red in color. It was pale, like an albino, and it was not as powerfully built as the other. They looked like reptiles, living, walking, intelligent beings, not human, not warm-blooded, but reptiles. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but this is true. They said nothing, but I did get a strong sense from the big one. A malevolence, an evil presence of some kind. My friend screamed and we turned around, of course a power turn. We started to go back out and my friend said the big one was after us. I looked back and it was following us. I had the overwhelming feeling that if caught, well, that it would harm us bad. So we passed through the wall projection and I looked back and saw the thing raise its arm and it had a weapon of some sorts. It fired and hit the ATV my friend was on. The engine died and he stopped. So I told him to jump on and he did. I gunned it and then my friend said, "Stop!" I slowed down and he said, "Look!" I looked back and the thing had stopped at the graffiti on the cave floor. The ATV was on its side, on its side, beside the graffiti. It was obvious that this thing would not come across this marking. So I slowed more. We were now about only 75 feet away. I stopped and the three of us, me, my friend, and this creature, just looked at each other for about 15 seconds. And let me tell you, that was a long, long time. Then I started to leave. It stayed there waiting and not moving until we were out of sight. As soon as we cleared the cave, I got on my cell phone and I called the sheriff's department. I told them that they would not come out and that underground security would handle it. That's what they told me. And then they hung up on me. And now by law, they are not to do that. We can hang up on anyone, but a government office, be it city or federal, cannot hang up on you. Anyway, I was shocked and scared, and we took off across the outside of the underground over to my truck, and sure enough, underground security was waiting for us. We were told to leave, not to tell anybody about this, and that if I come back, the Navy would press charges. I was also told that I had 10 minutes to leave or I'd be taken in. What can I say? We left. It's been 3 days since this happened, and I'm still shaken. I'm a powerful person. I'm 6'4" and I weigh 265 pounds. And I've never in my life been afraid for my life until this past Sunday. I lost one of my ATVs. I submitted the VIN number, and as far as I know, it's still down there. My friend won't talk about it, and we haven't heard anything from anyone about it. I did call the sheriff's department, and they said they never got a call from me. Well, that's it. That's my story. I have never had anything strange happen in my life, and I'm very, very concerned about this. I can tell you this. I had an urge to kill the things I saw down there. I don't know if it's this natural reaction, as most people have a natural revulsion towards reptiles, or because of my faith and the feeling of evil I had, or what. All I know is that they're real, and I wish I could do something, anything to combat or help against these things. Take care, all, and thank you again for letting me write this and share this experience. So, there is a wild cave encounter that took place in Missouri, but it doesn't stop there. No. After just posting this, Lon started getting letters from other people. And now this happens all the time. You know, you get emails, you post stories. We get it all the time. Everybody gets this when you start sharing it. If you've never heard it, you're like, oh, and that's kind of what happened. This is something that he posted here. And I'm just going to read this to you. It says, "Sir, this is the first time I'm disclosing my experience to the public. My family's been previously informed of the details. At the time, I owned a small business, which I had started after I finished a 12-year stint in the military. I was then living near Eldridge, Missouri, and was raised in the general area and knew the terrain fairly well. I had spent time at the U.S. Army Engineer School in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and some of the training included speedlunking. When I left the Army, I continued to explore caves as recreation. In 1993, I helped form a local group of experienced cavers. We would get together on weekends and explore some of the cavern systems throughout Missouri and Arkansas. The experience I'm about to describe took place in the summer of 1995. I was on my own that day, which was not uncommon. I had decided to check out a cave in Camden County, Missouri, which was part of a fairly large system in the area. From what I could tell, this particular cave had not been explored for a long period of time. The entrance was very narrow and very well hidden. So after squeezing through the opening, I descended another 50 feet or so before the cave began to open up in a series of chambers. I moved through several of these chambers, taking my time to examine the area for possible artifacts and formations. I finally reached what I thought was the end of the cave, and I started to hear a rustling sound that was echoing from a small opening near the top of the chamber. Now, I assumed the sounds were bats. I didn't pay much attention to it. But after a while, I heard motorized sounds and talking. So I stood and listened for several minutes, wondering what was on the other side of this chamber. The opening was about 10 foot above me. Well, I maneuvered my way up to the opening, which was flat and narrow, but big enough for me to get a decent look into. And as I positioned myself to the front of the opening, I started to see light at the other end. The passageway was only a few feet long, but it was just too narrow for me to move through. So as I looked through the opening, there was a very warm draft of air hitting my face. As well, the air had a very acrid vinegar-like odor. There was a very large and well-lit room with limestone walls. And I noticed a small vehicle that looked like a golf cart, but was very low to the ground and without wheels. So I continued to observe until I started to hear voices that were getting louder and closer. Something was making its way towards the vehicle. I had to rub my eyes because I didn't believe what I was looking at. This creature, because it was not a man, stood about 7 foot tall and had brown, scaly skin. The face and head were shaped like a human with a flat nose, but there were no ears or hair. The top of the head had a slight scaly ray or ridge that extended down the back of the neck. And from what I could see, it had lips and regular-sized eyes. The arms were very long and muscular with human hands, or human-like. It also had a massive 4 or 5 foot long tail that tapered to a point. It was dressed in a gold metallic outfit with long pants and shoes. It also carried an oval backpack attached to it. I watched as this thing was looking at something on the vehicle. I had a high-speed camera which I used to document my cave explorations. I was able to obtain a few distorted images of the being, and for some reason, while I was taking photos, the creature stopped and turned, looking in my direction. I'm not sure if it heard me, but it definitely knew of my presence. It then made a terrible hissing sound as it continued to look in my direction. Well, that was enough for me. I quickly started making a beeline out of the cave, and when I reached the entrance, I was shaking and hyperventilating. I finally reached my vehicle and drove home. I continued to explore caves in the area. I have heard stories of people encountering strange underground beings, but I've never disclosed my experience. A few years after my experience, I went back to the cave, but was unable to get near it since the area is now government property. I can assume that I witnessed something that I was not supposed to see. It pains me to think what secrets are being kept from us. To those who say that there are no non-humans living among us, well, think again. They are here. I do have the aforementioned evidence of the experience, but I do not wish to release this at the present time. Jerry. So Jerry shares that he just bumped into it. Again, sure is odd, right, that all of a sudden now it's under government control. Makes you wonder. Always makes you wonder when they toss in the government control thing. Always makes me wonder, why didn't they know about it first? I mean, damn, if there's a big scaly lizard guy underground riding around on a golf cart hissing at folks and the government don't know about it, what good's the government doing us, right? You're here to protect us, right? Anyway, so this goes even deeper. After releasing that story, pumped on a while, he gets another one. Yeah. And this story is from a fella in Austria. Okay. This is a great story. I believe this fella's name was Gregor that sent this in. And, well, you'll see what I'm talking about. It says this right here. It says, I'm writing to you from where I live in Munden, Austria. Recently, I came across your story about the man who had an encounter with an alien-type creature in a cave in the U.S. The story is similar to my encounter in an obscure cave here in Upper Austria. This area is known for salt mining. The salt mines of the former Habsburg Empire. I am trained and certified geologist. I studied at the University of Salzburg and the United States at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. I have explored and documented cave systems throughout Austria, the Czech Republic, and Poland since 1988. And in May of 2011, I was in a narrow cave that a colleague had recently found. This was approximately 2 kilometers north of Obertron, on the opposite side of the descending mountain range in the foothills near the east bank of Hallsatter. Well, it says Hallsatter Sea. As I moved through the difficult passageway, I started to hear voices emanating from the darkness ahead of me. I stopped to collect a few samples from the cave wall, chipping it with my pick, and I moved deeper, maybe 50 meters, until I noticed the voices again. I'm familiar with echoes and Doppler effect sounds in caves, but this was totally different. I stood quietly for several minutes until the voices stopped. Again, I moved through the cave, almost crawling at this point. After another 40 meters, I ascended into a chamber that was big enough to accommodate several people. There were two wide openings on the opposite side of the chamber. Each looked like it had been excavated by a machine. There was also an obvious rotting odor, and as I examined the chamber, I noticed an odd red iridescence as I passed the light over the rock floor. When I knelt down to collect the sample, I again heard voices coming from one of the passageways. At this point, I was terrified. I started to hurry back through the narrow cave. After I squeezed back several meters, I was able to turn my head just enough to look back into the dark chamber. A yellow light slowly made its way into the chamber from the left opening. Then there were several yellow lights following the first. As the lights moved back through the opening, into the chamber, then back through the opening on the right, I was able to see the beings. The sight sent fear throughout my body. I was actually physically paralyzed with fear. The creatures were humanoid in stature, but these were not human. Each varied in height, but all looked the same. Muscular lizards that walked upright like humans. There's not a better term I can use to identify these beings. These creatures wore dark-colored, full-bodied uniforms that extended and covered the feet. I couldn't tell the exact color of the skin, but each had a pronounced muzzle. The long tails were very prominent and swiftly swayed back and forth as they moved forward. The arms and legs were massive. I could detect the musculature through the uniforms. There were voices also, as if they were talking to each other. Now, the voices actually sounded human, though I could not detect the language. There were possibly 20 or more of these creatures as they walked single file through the chamber and into the other opening. When I conceived that it was safe to move, I quickly withdrew from the cave. I think I may have been in shock because I barely remember anything that happened from that point until I reached my office. I decided to keep a private journal regarding my encounter, but I've not discussed it with anyone else. My colleague, who originally found the cave, told me that he has explored the cave since my encounter, but never mentions anything about the chamber, other passageways, or bizarre beings. At this point in time, I'm starting to doubt that I witnessed these creatures. Is it possible that I hallucinated this encounter, or possibly experienced something from the past or the future? I am a trained professional who deals with reality, but my beliefs have been seriously shaken. I appreciate your introspect and thoughts, as well as observation by your readers. Thank you, Gregor. So folks, there it is. Another sighting. I love how he points out, could this have been a time slip? Never thought of that. Never thought of the idea of flashing into the future or into the past, time slipping while you're in a cave. I mean, it happens in stores. It happens to people in the woods. It happens in towns. It happens on drives. Why should caves be any different, right? It's a very odd thing. I don't like to think about it. I know it's crazy. And we, you know, the idea of reptilians, just something about it. I just don't like to think about there being a whole reptilian race. But there does seem to be a lot of crazy things that go on in these caves that revolve around lizard folk. And with that, let's take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to go ahead and crack open the skull of Philio Filson and see what he thinks about all of this reptilian cave encounters. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
My name is Dexter. Feel free to use my name. Show keeps me occupied on 14-hour workdays, 12, 14-hour workdays. You guys are awesome. But I fell behind, and I just listened to the Pet Ghost episode, and it literally, I had to share this story with you. About 11 years ago, me and the wife were living in Southern California, middle of the summer, so, you know, 60-degree nights, 102-degree days. Had the windows open one night, and one of our three cats, two very large, one not so big, must have jumped up in the windowsill and knocked the screen out. So, two of the cats escaped, one stayed in the house screaming. Wake up to the cat screaming, find the window open. One of the cats in the front yard, our black cat, missing. We leave the garage door open, put the cat box in there, put food out front. We cannot find this cat. We're 5 days, 6 days later, cat hasn't come home. So now it's time to start driving down the side of the road to see if we can find the roadkill. Well, we find a black cat maybe about a mile from the house, squished pancake. The wife calls me crying. She was on her way home. I get out there with a shovel and a trash bag, and I scoop up this black cat, and I put it in a bag. I bring it home. We go down to the side of the house, and we bury the cat. Put a marker over there, you know, super sad that our cat Binx was gone. She was the first pet me and the wife got together, and then now she was gone, and wife was upset, and it was my cat. I love that cat. Well, one day we wake up, and we hear a cat crying on the front porch, maybe about 3-4 days after we buried the black cat. Binx came home, covered in cobwebs, screaming and crying, don't know where this cat had been. So now we've got three cats in the house again and a dog. We've got a baby gate up in the hallway blocking off the litter box to keep the cat, or keep the dog out of the cat box. I see one black cat go in, you know, hits the baby gate, she's a fat cat, hits the baby gate, makes a loud noise, jumps in there, and then, you know, she's in there a minute. Another black cat goes in. Completely dead silent. And I was like, well, that was weird. Both cats are fat. And anyone who's had a baby gate knows that sound when a cat goes over the top of it and bounces off of it. So I go over there and look. Binx jumps out. There's no second cat in there. So I tell the wife about it. She thinks I'm crazy. We're sitting there watching TV one Friday night, you know, eating some Domino's, drinking a beer. And we see a cat come out of the kitchen, go down the hallway, around the corner to the bedroom. And I was like, huh. The cat didn't stop to say anything. She didn't pause, didn't lick herself, nothing. We look down on the couch. One black cat's with us. One black cat's by the sliding glass door. I said, you saw that third black cat, right? Every night from then on, after she acknowledged the black cat in the house, we had four cats in the house. But one didn't eat nothing and didn't make any sound. We've been out of the house for 9 years now, and I wonder if the new owners have a ghost cat. Guys, awesome job. Keep up the good work. I appreciate it. See you.
Well, thank you, Dexter, for sending that in. A very, very cool story.
Ooh, yeah.
Just like we were talking about in the intro, like letting a ghost live with you, and it'd be cool. It sounds like this guy's got a ghost cat living with him.
That's right.
Or was living with them. They don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned.
Isn't that wild, though?
Yeah.
I love the idea of ghost pets.
Ghost pets. Or how many times when you're out just on a walk or doing something and you see a cat or you see a dog, maybe that's not a real dog or cat. Maybe it's a ghost.
Maybe.
You ever think of that?
Maybe. Like we talked about. I mean, they have to be. I mean, that's good energy, right? Pets are good energy. But also, too, we already know that the ghost wolves and the wolf spirits and the black dogs. And all that. I mean, we already know that they could be bad. So they got to be some good.
Yeah. Right.
So what do you think, folks, also about reptilian encounters in the underground, right? Two encounters in Missouri, one in Austria. Pretty wacky. And I know this fellow over here loves reptilian stories anyway.
I do. I like reptilian stories. I don't like water creatures, water cryptids for some reason, but like lizard people, I'm down with that.
So let me pick your brain here, because I have a question. Why is it, and I mean, I know you won't know this, but I'd just like to get your take on it. So we don't get a lot of sightings of reptilians. I can't think of any outside of, I mean, there's a few, but not really, you know, well-documented sightings outside of the lizard man, right, of Skateboard Swamp. Mm-hmm. But when we start talking about underground, we have tons of sightings from the underground of people reporting all of these reptilians being involved in cave systems. So why is there a consistency there like there is with Bigfoot, right? Like, you don't get stories of Bigfoot being in caves. Well, why wouldn't you? Because if I were a Bigfoot, wouldn't it be much easier to hide in a cave?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a lot easier.
That's where bears, you know, den up.
Exactly. But what you get is stories. Now, there are a few scattered stories, like we've talked about in the past, of like the giants of, was it the Kandahar giant? Mm-hmm. You know, these where they found these giants in caves. We talked about the Almasti, the Russian Almasti that they found in the cave. There's a few, but those were always like at the mouth of the cave, right? Those things come out. When they go into the cave, they find reptilian. And what's really odd to me is the number of these that take place around government-controlled areas.
That is fishy.
I don't know, man. It's one of those things. And we've heard a few stories from a few different people, one of them being military, about something possibly reptilian in a base already, like when they were there on a security patrol, something crazy going down. So I don't know. I just know we started talking about Phil Snyder, and then that's where it took me. So I just started thinking more and more about crazy reptilian encounters and stuff I hadn't really heard of. And again, big ups to Lon. Lon's already got, like I said, everything. And like I'd said before, if you have some awesome stories, of course, Kyle and I want to hear it. We always want to hear it, right? That's our thing. We just love stories. If you're going to send them to us, send them to Lon. Because if you don't send them to Lon, we're going to. So right, either way, exactly. They're going to get on, Phantoms and Monsters. Because like I had said, we had had Albert Rosales on. And when Albert stepped down, Lon kind of picked it up and ran with it. So I love it. Like I said before, I hope Lon keeps it up.
Right. If you want to share your story like Dexter did, call the hotline. The number is 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783.
You know what I love the most? And that's what I love it when y'all call in, because I love to hear you tell it.
Yeah, me too. Right?
I love to hear the inflection, the emotion. I love to hear that part of the story.
I do too. It's cool. If you don't feel comfortable, though, speaking, and you'd rather write it in email form, do that. ExpandedPerspectives@yahoo.com. You can follow the show on all forms of social media. Cam, what do you got planned for your week?
My daughter comes home. And so we've got stuff with her that we got going on. So we'll be busy with that pretty much. We're going to get our D&D on, and then the rest of it I'll be getting. I haven't seen my daughter in five weeks, almost 6 weeks.
Hmm.
So it'll be good to lay eyes on her again, get around. I miss her.
How's your 3D printing going?
Man, I tell you what, it's a big learning thing. I was surprised. I had to learn a lot of stuff that it's baby steps, but I'll tell you what, so far I've only had one print fail and everything else has been good. So I've probably printed 70 prints.
That's awesome.
You know, 60, 65 prints. I've only lost one. So I'm feeling pretty good about the whole thing. So yeah, I mean, it's fun and it's fun. The painting's fun. The whole deal. Like you and I are experiencing the old man stuff. This is what we're doing now. It's like painting tiny things and building terrain.
I would like to find like the plans for like a birdhouse and have it 3D printed, and then I could paint it. And then, you know, you could go hang it in a tree or something. That'd be cool.
Or you could just go buy like a few pieces of scrap wood.
But I want a 3D. I want it made from a 3D printer. I don't want a wood one. Everybody's got a wood one.
But you can't tell unless you.
I know.
So I'm going to tell you they got them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I'll have to find the files.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Because everybody has a wooden one. How many people do you know have a 3D printed one?
You going to make it look like something fancy? Like a boot or something crazy?
Something gothic, something creepy.
Like a skull?
Anything.
A skull birdhouse?
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be pretty cool.
Paint it up and then you could...
You know what would be an awesome birdhouse? The predator face with the mouth open and that's where it flew in.
Now you're talking.
See, we're going to try to build
anything with the predator.
Right? Word.
I need to go on there and on the interwebs and see if I can find some predator figures that I can print.
I've seen some. I have found a few of them. Yeah.
Now you're talking.
See, that's already thought about it. We need those big tall ones.
My dad's birthday is coming up in April. Maybe I should print one out and paint it all up for him.
He should
love that, right?
He would love it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we're going to start looking to see what we can find.
Right. Awesome. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Please be safe out there. Till next time. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.